Okay, my review just went away. Or didn't get on.
I had you for a month.
Okay. Okay, so, I mean, so let's go on. He said, but I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. And he spake these words, and many believed on him. And it's interesting, you see, he's looking at something. In fact, it's interesting, this was prophesied in the past, as he existed in the past, and as the Father sends him, and as he comes, and he accomplishes these things. One of the fun subjects that we have when we talk about pre-existence of the Son, and I never have enough time or place to teach it, because I try to fit it in angelology, or the doctrine of spirit beings. Well, it's too big a chunk for that. And in Christology, in the seminary classes, I have a little bit more time to do it. But that is the study of the angel of Jehovah. And it's Malach Yahweh, the angel of Jehovah. Now, remember what the word angel means. Messenger. The messenger of Jehovah. And it's so interesting how often Malach occurs in the Old Testament. And I have some of the stats over on page 9. You have angel of Jehovah that is found 56 times in the Old Testament. I would have loved to have put some Hebrew in here. I'm kind once in a while, and I don't put the Hebrew in. I mean, I want to see it on my pages, but I should after the time I spend in Hebrew. But angel of Jehovah. Now, in the Old Testament, that is a title. When you get to the New Testament, you have some references of angel of the Lord. Now, angel of the Lord in the New Testament is not seen as a title. It is seen as it's an arthrus, which means it doesn't have an article. So it's one who is a quality of angel of the Lord, and that is not the second person of the Godhead. In the Old Testament, angel of Jehovah refers to the second person of the Godhead, that is God the Son. And that's what we're going to be looking at in a moment. Now, it's interesting, when we look in Scripture, to me it's always fun. Sometimes we can find good illustrations in stories. And they're designed in Scripture to teach us something. And it's so often that we look at some of these stories and we forget sometimes that God put some significant data in. It works better right side up, even if it was Hebrew. It's not. But we're going to look at the book of Judges. And in Judges 13, we're in this Samson material. Judges, the 13th chapter. And it's kind of interesting when you look at it. I don't know if you get real interested in it. It's fun to chase down through this, the descriptions of the angel of Jehovah. Judges chapter 13. I'm not starting where you have it in my notes, where I have it quoted. Judges 13, verse 3. No, I need to read verse 2. And there was a certain man, and it's fun, he's a highborn man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, bare not, two different words, by the way. And the angel of Jehovah appeared, or was seen, unto the woman, and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren. Duh. You think she was telling her anything she didn't know already? I mean, she wanted to have a child, undoubtedly. We don't know how old she was. So I can see her counting on the calendar. You know, I mean, I know some women, when they turn 30, think they're over the hill and they might not ever have kids. It's just, I mean, it's a perspective. And so she understood it here. And so he said, you're barren and you do not bear. Repetition of what it said in the end of verse 2. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And it's very clear that she would conceive and she would ultimately birth a son. It doesn't say a child, it says a son. And so, I mean, it's very clear in the text. It's the word ben, bane in Hebrew, a son. And so he tells her this. Now he's got some strings attached to this situation. He says, now therefore, beware. Guard yourself, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child, the young man or young child, this is a place where you have that the word I mentioned somewhere in the last few weeks, Na'er, where it's used of Joshua about 45 years old. And it could be clear back to, you know, probably a young child, maybe a bar mitzvah child, where it's more common in that matter. And so here you have this circumstance where there will be this, and I hate to translate it child because I know what it means. And he says this one will be a Nazarite. When he uses that word, it's talking about his moving on through his life as a Nazarite. Now, we could go to a lot of places and talk about Nazarite vows, like in number 6. But this is, this, so he'll be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he, emphatically, shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. It doesn't say that he will finish. He will begin to. He uses a perfectly good word for that, to start doing it. When we read the rest of the story, you'll see he was very destructive in the end, but he failed. I mean, he pulled down the temple and killed several thousand, but he didn't completely deliver Israel. He certainly thwarted the Philistines for a period of time. Now, meanwhile, let's keep reading. Now, I'm not following it as in my notes, because I want to point things out as we go. Then the woman came unto her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his face, or appearance, was like the appearance of an angel of God. Very fearful, or fearsome, let's make it right. Very terrible, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. Now you notice the description that she uses there too. He's called an highborn man of God, an Ish of Elohim. So he's called a man of God, and then he's called an angel of God, or a messenger from God. And I think that's kind of what she had in mind. And he said unto me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat an unclean thing. And notice there's always an italics after anything that's unclean. And that makes it pretty tough in many ways, if you go back to the law. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. It's interesting. Every time I read this, you know, I have another guy in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
John the Baptizer.
John the Baptizer. Remember, the scripture says that he was filled by the Spirit from his mother's womb. It's so interesting. And so Samson had a life sentence to be a Nazarite. And when you realize, when you look at the stipulations that are in the law for taking a Nazarite vow, it usually started somewhere and it usually had an ending within that person's lifetime. You know, there was so long on it. And so, I mean, that's that interesting incidental information to where we're working here. And so in verse 8, then Manoah entreated Jehovah. The word that's translated entreat is totally unlike any New Testament word for communication with God. I mean, it's really funny. When you compare the sets, you know, the 8 words for communication with God in the New Testament with the terms for Old Testament communication, there's very, very little overlap. We have an overlap in asking, like Iteo in the New Testament. We've been there on it. But here he entreats God, or Jehovah. And he said, my Adonai. And we're working terms. How do I know the difference? I don't have it written in my Bible in these titles because I can read the way it's in the AV. If you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and your AV, what does it mean? Jehovah, it's a tetragrammaton. If you see capital L and a small O, small R, small D, it's Adonai. That's a nice, I mean, it's a nice way to handle things. So you have two different titles.
New King James has Lord all capitalized here.
Okay, good.
Would you say that would be Jehovah?
Should be. You have his first, it should be caps.
The second one will be a cap without the small letters.
Yeah. So he's changing.
The first one Jehovah, the second one is Adonai.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jehovah Adonai.
Separate. But it's saying the same thing.
A little plug for the Scofield Reference Bible, adjacent Malachi 3, there's a nice, if you ever forget that, it's right there, adjacent Malachi 3.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you have an old Scofield, I don't know what it is. I think the new one does it too.
So when it says Lord, when it says Jehovah Elohim, mm-hmm. is it like capitals?
It'll be
Jehovah, and then
it usually is. It'll be Jehovah will be L O R D caps. Yeah, sometimes it's a little tricky when you have them together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll put G O D in caps for Jehovah. You got to watch it. Or you'll get it mixed up. I mean, you've got the same person anyway. But you in the back, like I say, it's like Dan mentions, right at the end of the Old Testament, that's easy. I mean, it's Malachi 4. No, that's Hebrew. Malachi 3. No, that's the Italian prophet.
Yes, that's the Roman Bible.
It's the Italian prophet.
That's a ball game.
In the ballpark, you'll find it.
Yeah, Malachi, by the way, has a different versification in the Hebrew text and the other, which is a little project for those of us who are working the text on that matter. And it's hard sometimes. It does that to us. Okay, that was another freebie. Okay, so he entreats him. He comes with this kind of an this is not like supplication. He's trying to appeal to him on, do I dare even say this, on an emotional kind of basis. He's making this kind of appeal from the soul.
So you've said it's not supplication, it's not to cry for help kind of thing.
No. But he's trying to polish an apple. I didn't say that.
No, it's not to cry for help, but he's really imploring him nonetheless.
He's imploring him, and it's very different. Don't forget, they're not saved in their spirit. They're not saved in their soul. I mean, we were talking about that on the way down here, about how much to say about the kind of salvation an Old Testament saint had. Someday you ought to know. Why? Because you have it so much better. You know, our salvation is just, I mean, this thing of a security is not a question mark at all. In the Old Testament, there were some big question marks because they didn't know, they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a quality of the divine nature. The Holy Spirit would come upon some in a selective manner, and there were very few. So when we understand that, that helps us with this.
Not indwelling. But so the point of the way he's addressing him here is precisely, it's an earnest imploring, but it's not a desperate.
No, and this, I mean, you've got to realize that when he says this, he's real concerned about the family tree. You know, am I going to have a family tree or not? Now, notice what he says. This is so interesting because he had no idea of who the angel of Jehovah was. He says, "Oh my Adonai." The word Adonai is a word for master. And so he says, "Oh my master." He's appealing to deity. And he is presenting himself in a submissive manner. And he says, "Let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child," and he uses the word na'er, "that shall be born." Now, you see, he had an issue. We're going to see angel of Jehovah, and he calls him what? The man of God. So he's not sure what's going on here. So he appeals in communication because he had no idea that there was a manifestation of deity in this one called the angel of Jehovah. Now, I'm doing this because I can go slow and set it up for you because this chapter does a neat job of it. Next verse. And God, Elohim, hearkened to in the voice. I like the translation too when it's really in. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. And her Manoah, her husband, there was not him with her. Now, I translated it that way because that's what it is in the Hebrew. He uses this little negative particle form, and it's translated, there was not him with her. So, you know, it's like, we're going to get after him. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man, the highborn man, has a definite article in front of it. The man has appeared to me and came unto me, that came to me the other day. And Manoah rose and went with his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man? Man, what a rotten attitude toward his wife. She said he was the man, and then he had to question it. That never happens. Thou art the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, honey, I.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say I am. It's kind of interesting. He just says I. Doesn't put any anything with it. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? What manner shall be the manner of the child? What shall he do is probably a better translation. And so he said, okay, now, here we've been going through what we've seen. The angel of the Lord in 3, a man of God in 6, an angel of God in 6, man of God in 8, angel of God in 9, the man in 10, the man twice in 11. And now you come to verse 13. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, and he comes back up to Malach Yahweh, the angel of Jehovah, said unto Manoah, all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware, let her guard. Sounds like keep off the grass sign. It means to guard against.
What would part of the reason be that they identified as a man is because if you look back, say, for example, Genesis 19, when the Lord came with two angels, he saw three men. And so this is appearance. This looked like a man that they couldn't tell by looking at the man that he was who he is.
He was in a humanoid form. He took on a human form. And we see that, again, I mean, that's in other places. And it's logical. That's what he saw. I mean, he wasn't some kind of a big-headed green creature or something. No, he was a man. He was in humanoid form. He was anthropomorphic.
And he didn't look like an angel.
And he didn't look like an angel. There was no manifestation. He defined the way. But they use the word messenger. Okay, so he's called that. And she may not eat of the thing that cometh of the vine, and he explains the same thing to her. Here they translate in the King James at the end of 14, let her beware, observe, which same verb they translated beware at the end of 13. It's interesting to play on that word in this.
I think it's...
In verse 6, it seems to indicate that his countenance was different.
Was like an angel.
Yeah, like, so they
similar.
They have some concept of what it must have looked like. It's not that he looked exactly like a man, but he had maybe some brilliance to it, or I'm not sure what.
Is it possible that he first appeared that way?
Well, I mean, what that word appearance is, I mean, it was something that was visible to the eye. Comes from the verb to see in that case. And so there was probably a distinctive, I'm sure, if in that form there would be no human being that looked as good. The perfection. If he took on a human form, it would be a perfection. And that may have been what they saw. I'm not sure. I don't know whether I want to say it was a manifestation of Shekinah glory.
Well, if his countenance is like an angel is the word for messenger, is it possible that she's inferring some authoritative demeanor from that or not? I mean, I'm intrigued by that reference as well, his countenance, but...
But she knew he wasn't a normal man. I think that's the easiest, I mean, that's the easy way to say it. She didn't know that it was he wasn't a normal man in this.
I think it's fascinating, sorry, that there's got to be some divine wisdom here, obviously, because I have experience with people that I know who suffer from fetal alcohol syndrome. Here he is, he's telling the woman, stay away from the strong drink, you know.
Any drink.
Maybe to protect the child, you know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that can be, yeah. But in that case, I mean, it was to say that from the moment of conception, he was not, I mean, that Nazarite vow went for 9 months that he had nothing to do with and no choice as if he would in the next couple of years. And so it was their job to beware, no, to guard in that matter. Now let's keep going. I'm taking time here because this is just a fun passage. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee. Now the word I pray thee is not a word for communication. It's what we call a particle of entreaty. And so there are little particles in Hebrew that entreat somebody. We can translate them now. This I would translate, I pray thee or I beseech you. But there's no verb here. It's just a particle. It's just two or three letters. I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And so what he's talking about is a goat. And he wants to have a barbecue. Now, how long does it take to cook an animal? Yeah. I mean, it means you kill it, and you have to clean it. And, I mean, obviously, it's probably not that hard to skin it. But then you have to cook it. And so he's asking for more than an hour.
3 hours.
At best.
It's normal. It's from Christ when he was...
He died,
and then until the next day was 3 hours.
Right.
And they were hurrying to kill the lamb.
Right.
Because they had to cook it.
And they did cook it and eat it. That's true. That's a good observation.
Rotisserie.
No, it deals with Passover.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. Passover lamb. And that 3-hour period that is mentioned there in the Gospels. Okay, so they did that, and the angel of Jehovah said unto Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat of your food, and if you will offer a burnt offering, you must offer it unto the Lord. That's getting interesting all of a sudden.
Why would he not eat the food?
I'm not going to give you a smart answer. I was ready to give you a smart answer.
I guess I appreciate that.
Because he didn't want to.
No, I mean, he was remaking it clear. The only reason he would hang around at all was not for their food.
More important things to do.
Even if Bob cooked it.
Tony Roma barbecue sauce.
Now you said you wasn't, you did. But,
well,
okay. No,
that
mean
was better. Okay, so notice the last line here, and it says, "For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord."
Yeah.
Now, angel of the Lord. Now, I need to say this because I'm totally honest with the way the text works. In the Hebrew, you do not have one occurrence with a definite article of angel of the Lord. In the English translation, we have an article often. But in the Hebrew, they don't. Now, what does that do? Does that throw it out and just say, oh, it's a quality? No. In Hebrew, like is true in Greek, when you have a title used of someone, you don't have to use an article. I mean, you don't have to say, the Don was here to teach tonight. I mean, Don is his title. And so, we could do, I mean, so in Hebrew it doesn't require it when it is a title, and this is one of the titles of deity. And so he had no idea. in this matter. And so, and Manoah did what the angel of the Lord, said unto the angel, what is thy name, that when you say your sayings will come to pass, we may give thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, I like this caginess, why askest thou after my name, seeing it is a secret? No, come on, you're cheating. The word in the Greek and the Hebrew is pale, which is a word, a wonder or wonderful. It's the same root that we're going to see when we come to that Christmas material. You will call him wonderful in Isaiah 9:6.
There it is.
A wonder.
Yeah.
On it. See? Well, I better be here.
He must have freaked out.
Okay. I have to check the version out here so I don't...
Is that the ASB?
Incomprehensible?
Yeah.
Is that the same?
N-A.
Incomprehensible.
N-A-S-B.
N-A or A-S-B.
Well, did they translate it incomprehensible?
Well, on the side, on the margin.
New American Standard Bible.
It gives it the literal incomprehensible.
Oh. Well, I mean, the idea of wonder may have that kind of a... You know the kinds of miracles in the New Testament? You have three kinds. We have signs, John, wonders, and powers, miracles. Yeah, and so the word wonders is that which causes awe.
And that's what she calls
beyond outside comprehension.
Beyond understanding.
Beyond understanding.
In verse 6 she says his appearance was like an appearance of the angel of the Lord, very awesome. So there's that word awesome again.
Yeah. See, we're all working around that concept, and it carries in the New Testament, Old Testament both. I mean, that source of awe. Now let's go on, because we're right in the, we got left off of the secret. Now we got to get the next round. So Manoah took a kid. It's interesting. Was it the same kid he was going to prepare for dinner? It says he took a kid with a meal offering. Now it's not meat; it's meal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anytime you see in the AV, it's a meal offering, which involves usually flour or meal. And so a meal offering, and offered upon a rock unto Jehovah. And the angel did a wonder.
Whoa.
And that root is the same as we've seen in secret. He did something that was awesome. And Manoah and his wife looked on, and it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off of the altar. This didn't come down from heaven like it did with old Elijah. This came up from the altar and went toward heaven. That the angel of Jehovah ascended in the flame of the altar. Kneeled. Isn't that a great picture now when you think that's the pre-incarnate son? And Manoah and his wife looked, and what did? They took a nosedive. They scooped her. They fell on their faces to the ground.
I forgot all this drama was here.
Yeah. And it just means they fall. I always think it'd be fun to have the other Hebrew word, which means to fall on your face and serve dirt and worship in this case.
It's John on Patmos too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In Revelation.
Was that the same kind of effect that like Jesus had on the soldiers when he said something to
him? He said, I am.
Yeah, and they fell.
Yeah, I am, and they
fell backwards.
They went comatose.
Or is this an indication that they were in wonder so much that they fell to worship?
Well, the next verse says they do.
Read on.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just thought of 22. That the New King James adds an exclamation point context when he goes up into the upward. They put a big exclamation point.
Oh.
Is there
that's interpretive, but it's a good interpretive.
Is there anything in the Hebrew that would indicate that in the original language that would make that so awe-inspiring that it's purely interpretive?
It's interpretive, yeah. But see, that tells, the strength of that root. I think it's right. Okay, let's continue to read, because we haven't. The angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah than his wife. So he took a trip. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord.
So there's a definite article there. You said
no,
the angel.
I do it because it's a name.
Okay.
Title.
Yeah, it's a title of deity. So he knew that this was, and now here's the grand finale in 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, dying we shall die. We will surely die, sounds like Genesis, doesn't it? Because we have seen God. We have seen Elohim. See, all of that work to come to that one line.
Look how smart his wife was in the next verse.
But there's a lot of good theology in this. Look at verse
23. Mm-hmm. Let's read on, just because it's fun. Okay, verse 23 says, but his wife said unto him, if Jehovah were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and meal offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor at this time have told us such things as thee.
Well, she's teaching the class here.
Amen. She ain't done yet either.
Yeah, well, she's not done yet. Look at the next verse. You'll see whether she's done or not. And the woman bore a son. She birthed a son, and called his name Shemshon. Shemishon. I'll come back to that. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. You know, it's kind of interesting. Samson comes from the Hebrew word Shemesh, which is the word son. And it has an own on the end of it, which is diminutive. So that's the reason they could call him Sonny.
Well, I'm calling that after he was 13.
Yeah.
But the own, like I say, the own is diminutive, so it's a little son and diminutive. And why they named him that? It's just kind of interesting. He sure didn't shine well as he went through his life, but it's interesting that was the name they gave him. And the Spirit of Jehovah began to move on him periodically in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtal. And you see, the Holy Spirit did some things with him periodically. He didn't come upon him permanently. When you got saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and he doesn't leave. And Samson, it was like Saul, remember? The Holy Spirit came upon him. Then say in him, it says upon, it's out, upon him. And so he came upon him, and he empowered Saul as king. But then he left him. And he didn't have the Holy Spirit upon him for a period of time. Then he came back upon him. And so this is Samson, cyclical. And Samson, we know there are a lot more of the story. But you see, what I wanted was 22 with the angel of Jehovah. We have seen God. We have seen God. And that's really, that's really crucial. Now, see, all of that to say, when we talk about the angel of Jehovah, we're talking about one who is God. And I believe it's a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Son. As you saw him, and again, angel or messenger of Jehovah. And the word messenger, you know from Malachi. I mean, Malach is messenger. The ye on the end of it is my messenger in that book, in that instance. So that's where I wanted to go. I put 9:6 of Isaiah in the parentheses in your notes, in Isaiah 28:9, because of that concept of wonder. We won't go look at those. I've got them written down here. In your notes, I pulled them out. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called a Wonder Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of the Ages, the Prince of Peace. When he's called Father of the Ages, he's not confusing persons and saying he's Father. He's Father of Ages. And if we go to Hebrews, we can see that God the Son, in a single utterance, a harema, called the ages into existence. And so you can see that when we understand that. And so, you know, here we're talking about somebody we just won't have an eternity enough to talk to get to know him better. We'll start learning about him as soon as the rapture comes, and we'll spend the rest of the time just just enjoying whatever we can pick up, and it'll be a whole lot more fun than here in this. And then you'll see in verse 29 of Isaiah 28, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of armies, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And you have the word wonderful there as well. In Malachi 3:1, it says, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, he's called here the messenger of the covenant. Now, we know this passage refers to the John the Baptizer and his anticipation of Christ's earthly ministry. But then you have messenger repeated, and it cannot be the first messenger. And it's going to come to his temple. And it's kind of interesting when you think in terms of a millennial temple. That it's just awesome study when you realize that that millennial temple is so well described in Ezekiel 40 through 48. And he has some dimensions. He has description of the division of the land. The land of the people, the priests, the land of, it's all divided out neatly there. It's mappable. And it's so interesting because, and people say, no, that won't be literal. It can't be literal. Well, if you send somebody the blueprint, it must not be literal. That is amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting. A whole denomination refuses to identify that temple. Mm-hmm. They cannot afford to call it the Millennial Temple.
No. And there are a number of people that do that.
The famous father and son, father's initials are RC, back on the East Coast. Doesn't know what it
We've
is.
We've done pretty good without dropping names. Okay, let's go on because we need to move along here. The angel of Jehovah is a pre-incarnate son in angelic form. Now, when I was in Bible college, they often call these manifestations as theophanies. And so phino is a word for manifestation, and theos, of course, is the word God. I don't want to call these theophanies. Yes, they were, because the Son is God. I'd rather call them huiophanies. And huiophanies, huios is the word for Son.
Manifestation of the Son.
And so it's a manifestation of the Son. And generally in the Old Testament, when you see manifestations of deity, not always, but generally, you know, who was it that was between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant? A huiophany. It was, it was a manifestation in glory, not in a human form. But it was a manifestation in glory, in what the Jews call Shekinah glory. I always like that. They don't. I don't know whether they intended it to mean what it did, but when they say Shekinah, it means a temporary manifestation of glory in a place. Shekinah means tent.
Well, isn't that the manifestation that Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6?
Six.
John says he saw the glory of the Lord.
Right.
In John 12.
Yeah, and that's what, like I say, the Jews will call it Shekinah. And we have picked it up from Jewish literature. I have no problem with it, but I think they get it. I mean, they don't realize what they're doing when they say it's a temporary dwelling. Because right now, the Shekinah, as it were, is in the throne in heaven. And it will come back when he comes back in what? In glory. He will return in glory.
And what's interesting is he said, I saw the Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Malachi it says, that saith the Lord of hosts, even the messenger of the covenant, mm-hmm. speaking about himself.
Yeah. And so when you think about it, it's just, God's program is just full of interesting details. And what does it do for you? You know, why do I have I spent so many years teaching Hebrew, for example? Why, if it's not going to be beneficial? It's doctrine that will help you understand your God better. Yeah. That is your God.
Yeah.
And when you understand that, and then we get into New Testament material and we understand it even better in some of these areas, and it just gives us a dimension that is added to our faith and a greater appreciation for our Savior and for the Son of God. And so let's read on down through this. I want to pick a little bit up before we tie this down. The angel of Jehovah is, oh, I already read that one. Number three, these titles. Angel of Jehovah occurs 56 times. Notice I didn't put an article on it in the outline. Angel of Jehovah is 56 times. Angel of God, 8 times. Sounds like we saw one of those in Judges. He's simply called angel in Genesis 48:16, Exodus 23:20. In Exodus 23, that's a fun passage because you have, he's called angel and he's called my angel. Mine angel in Exodus 23:23. And the angel of his presence. I got to go there.
Why not?
It's so such a blessing. Some of these things you stop and you're thinking, wow, you know. And 63:9 of Isaiah. And be careful when you go through some of these sections of Isaiah. It's poetry. It's broken into some paragraphing that it's not chronological, is what I need to say in this. We have to be wise in some of that. And the verse we want to look at is 63:9. So let's start. Let's start at verse 7. I will mention, I will cause to remember the loving kindness, says, plural, of Jehovah and the praises of Jehovah according to all that Jehovah has bestowed on us, that great, the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his tender compassions. The word mercies, again, we've said it many times. When you see mercies in the Old Testament, find out what the word is behind it. It is not mercy. It's not the normal word for mercy. This is tender compassion. Some of you have translated that affections. And according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, sons that will not lie or deal falsely. For he was their Savior. That's the reason I wanted to read this. He was their Savior. The word Savior is a participle. And in the Hebrew we have what we call causatives. And it's a form that says, he's one who causes salvation. He actively causes salvation. And if I sent you on another wild goose chase, I could take you back earlier where you have these soteriological passages in Isaiah that are millennial in nature. Let me grab the one that's dominant, which is Isaiah 40. Yeah, it's not on that page. It's 45, and I wanted to confirm. Yeah, you've got lots of Savior in here. And the righteousness, well, I have lots. We've got it in 15, 20. 21, 22, that's a great section on it. Now, I've stopped before I got to the verse we're headed for. Now let's go to verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them in his love and in his pity. He redeemed them. And he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old, in spite of the fact that we're a bunch of rebels. I mean, you read that. Now, let's talk about that angel of his presence. Angel of his face. Angel of his face.
Face?
That's what it is, yeah. So that's what it says in the text.
Face.
The angel of his face. Can you get more present than seeing someone's
personal,
face?
Yeah.
And personal. And that's what it's, I mean, they didn't want to say face here because that's too man-like, too anthropomorphic. But it's the idea, I mean, he's that close. It's that face-to-face relationship of a Father, a Heavenly Father who shows some attributes and manifestations of attributes. You know, you have loving kindness, which is a manifestation of, let's see, as Kes said, I think it's love, am I right? Or goodness, one of them. We've got goodness in here. And then you have Rechem is definitely love. And so you have a manifestation of his character.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of John 1:1. Facing the word was facing God. Across the
Ooh, pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So in John 1:1 it says he was, no, I just lost my English.
He was with God.
He was with God. And the Greek word is cross. Mm-hmm. Facing. That intimate closeness. When you think of it. Okay. Well, I didn't resist. We talked about Malachi 3:1 in passing. And we'll come back to 4 when we come back next week, the Lord willing. We don't have a meeting in the air first. Okay. Let's break. We're at 4 on page 9.
When you started reading in 63, you started where? You started around 6 or you ended up at 9? 63 or 9?
I did 7, 8, 9.
Boy, I was putting some codes and some references here so I could get a better show the way I wanted to. And I was listening to you. It didn't dawn on me what 63 was. What 63 is. What a poignant transition from the way it starts out in 63. About verse 6, you got, he's regarding it.
I don't know.
It's a flashback.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, who is this who comes from Bozrah?
Well, I'm telling you, That's a scalpel.
Makes you say thank you a whole lot of times.
It's been about 3 or 4 years.